Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 95.3. David Pascal along with producer Wells Guthrie. Hoping everybody out there is having the happiest of hump days. And it is a pleasure to welcome into Press Row for the very first time new UTC basketball coach Dan Earl. Kind of the whirlwind introductory day. Dan, how are you today? All right, now you are a former Penn State player. Let's start there because you had some injuries as a player and you were there for six seasons. And so you got the name Grandpa Earl.
this is true. So the six seasons nowadays with the COVID year coming back
normal.
And everything is fairly normal. In those days, it was not that normal. Although I will say, and I'm dating myself, but there were two other guys, Jess Settles that played at Iowa and Evan Eschmeyer played at Northwestern. So three of us in the Big Ten were all six-year guys. But so as you can imagine, when you're a sixth-year senior and you have freshmen coming in that are 18 years old, I guess it's well-earned the nickname Grandpa.
How'd you take the nickname? Did you run with it?
Yeah, certainly. It was fine, but then I challenged him to play in one-on-one or something like that. You know, some of the guys that were giving me a hard time. But all good stuff.
I wanted to ask you this because I'm an Auburn grad, and when I was at Auburn, I'm a little older than you. In the 80s under Sonny Smith, Auburn was like really, really good. So it was kind of nice to have football and basketball. You know, at Penn State, you got to the NCAA tournament one year, and I guess you played that Arkansas team right after those Scottie Thurman and Corliss Williamson guys rolled off, but they still had like Kareem Reed and Pat Bradley and those guys. So that was your one trip to the NCAA tournament. What was it like playing basketball at a school that's so renowned for football?
Yeah, certainly. I was really proud of what we did there. Would have liked to have gone to more NCAA tournaments, but it's certainly known for a football school. In those days, Coach Paterno was there. They have tremendous history football-wise. We had gone from the Atlantic 10 into the Big 10, so there was this big push to be good in basketball, and we were kind of building it year one, year two, year three. I went my junior year. Then I got injured. A couple other guys got injured, another all-league guy named Jared Stevens. So you had some things that went on, but it was great in that in those days we had just moved from Rec Hall, which was kind of the old school on campus arena or gym, into the Bryce Jordan Center. So there's a lot of excitement. We packed the game, packed the Bryce Jordan Center every game. We were winning as well, so that helped. But it is Penn State is known as a football school. I think constantly trying to make it a basketball school as well.
How hard is that challenge? You've seen situations through the years like Florida at one point under Urban Meyer and Billy Donovan won national championships in the same school year, so it can be done, but I mean there does seem to be such a challenge at some universities to be really good at both sports.
Yeah, that's a great question, and you have a lot of people say, hey, why not? Why can't you be great at both? And, some Ohio State teams have been good in both over the years, and Michigan teams and what have you. So Penn State's had a couple blips here in basketball, but it is known, I guess, primarily as a football school. So, but Coach Shrewsbury's there now. He's trying to make that happen, and it's got a lot of resources, certainly. And I don't think there's anything that keeps you from having great football and basketball. I think people will come out and support you, particularly if you win basketball games.
That voice you hear is Dan Earl, the new head basketball coach at UTC. Let's fast forward to your coaching career. You've coached at your alma mater, but you've been the head coach at VMI the last several years. So you saw UTC up close and personal. Had a big win at McKenzie late this past year when UTC had this huge 25-year celebration of the Sweet 16 team. What made this job so attractive to you?
Yeah, I mean, so many reasons. But, I do know a little bit of the history and tradition of Chattanooga basketball. It's been had outstanding teams, had wonderful coaches. Coach McCarthy, when I was playing, actually, at Penn State, we played against Chattanooga twice. I want to say T.O. was on the team, as well as Johnny Taylor, some different people. And I've gotten to know Coach McCarthy over the years, so talk to him about Chattanooga as well. And there's been wonderful coaches there since. There's been a lot of success. So that certainly helps. You look at the Roundhouse, great facility, the practice arena. They're building new additions to the Roundhouse, locker rooms, all that good stuff. Great academics. So I think there's so many different things you can sell. And then on top of all that, Chattanooga, from what I understand from everybody and the times that I have been down, is just a wonderful, wonderful community, great place to raise a family. I think you can sell recruits on Chattanooga and all the support and the wonderful people in the area. So a million different reasons that I'm super excited to be here.
All right, in your time at VMI, you had the last couple of years, and VMI historically has been a very difficult place to win. The last couple of years, you were 29 and 28 there, so obviously had some success. We talk from time to time, and I'll use this analogy because you've come from, you know this area, but up at Virginia Tech, Frank Beamer, the legendary football coach, he at one point, after like his fifth or sixth season, went 2-8-1, and they kept him. And right. And obviously it paid huge dividends. They went on a streak of 10-win seasons, and everybody knows who Frank Beamer is. You had a stretch at VMI early on where there were some difficult years, and I want to say in like your fifth season, you went 9-24. And that is something where obviously they believed in you and saw that you could do what you've done the last couple of years. Why, if I had to ask, why do you think they stuck with you? Because, as you know, a lot of schools wouldn't, maybe.
Yeah, no doubt. You bring up a very good point, and I can't thank the leadership there at VMI. At that time, it was Dave Dials, our athletic director, and General P, our superintendent. And, you know, I think I was fortunate in that I had people that could look kind of deep into the program, whether it's watching your practice or your games or how your kids are in the community or how they're doing in the classroom, how hard they're working, your style play. There's a variety of different things. And I feel fortunate, number one, but you know, in this business, look, I get it. Winning is what it's all about, right? And no one wants to win more than me. And I'm planning on bringing winning ways to Chattanooga. But it's amazing to me that like one shot here or there can get a guy a job or get a guy fired. Mm-hmm. In some ways, it's so silly. I think that you should look deep into, hey, how is that coach? How is that coaching staff? How are those guys in the program? And I was very fortunate to have a supportive administration that understood some of the things we were doing. And trust me, I wasn't trying to go just one game over 500, but we do have some challenges at VMI. And I think if you ask a lot of Southern Conference coaches, Southern Conference athletic directors, they kind of appreciated what we were able to do there with a great spot, but some challenges.
You know, it's funny you bring that up because we are living in a time in these last few weeks where the SEC just cleaned house with like six different, you know, coaching openings. And if you look at who they replaced them with, they're all, you know, up-and-coming guys that got in the NCAA tournament or whatever that were kind of the big names. And you think about the guy you're replacing, Lamont Paris, who had it not been for David Jean Baptiste's shot in the SoCon championship game, who knows if he gets the opportunity at South Carolina, thus opening the door for you here at Chattanooga.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and I've become very close with Lamont Paris. He's a great guy, did a heck of a job. Bob Ritchie at Furman is also a great coach. So ideally, South Carolina hired the best coach for them, and I'm convinced that that is Lamont Paris. But you ideally wouldn't want it to come down to that shot, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. hopefully Lamont earned that, whether it went in or went out, that last shot by David Jean Baptiste. But that doesn't change who Lamont, right? If that shot misses, that doesn't change how good of a coach Lamont is, how good of a person he is, the way he runs his program. But in this day and age, it is about winning. And, you know, you want to get alumni excited and winning the press conference, all those things. You know, the only thing I'd say is, you know, you try to win the press conference, and that's important. But that person is also the coach for the, you know, next X amount of years, 3, 5, 7, 10 years. So you want to get it right as well.
All right, let's talk about, and I'm not sure what you're allowed to talk about, but I mean, and we had Lamont on for all five of his years, and I'll never forget just, you know, he discussed the early frustration about signing a Kevin Easley after his first year, and the guy's the SoCon freshman of the year, and he's averages 14 points, and he's like, I'm better than this. I'm going to the Big 12, and he's since transferred to Duquesne. And so, you know, roster building is such a challenge for all of you guys. I would assume, have you had the opportunity to sit down with every current UTC player and just kind of, I don't know what, I know you probably can't offer too many specifics, but how is that all going right now?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this day and age with the transfer portal and everything that goes on, it's college basketball has really changed, right? So, but you have to get with the times, right? You can't say, I wish it was the way it was or anything like that, or else you're going to be left behind. So that's the reality of it. I give our current team a ton of credit because when there's some uncertainty behind a coaching change, and there is, I've done it, you know, as a player, as a coach, assistant coach, as a head coach, it can be tough, especially nowadays. So I have not sat down in person with each guy individually, but I did talk to each of them on the phone. And then I was down here Thursday into Friday of last week. So I went over to see him lift and bounced around and talked to the guys. And I basically was just honest with them and said, a couple things. One, you know, give me some time to get to know you because this thing happened so fast or what have you. But also do your homework on me and what we're all about. So, you know, ask the, you know, Lamont and their staff or other people, you know, so, and I'm hoping that they all want to stick around and be here and do it. And they seem very receptive, but, you know, I wasn't born yesterday. Anything can happen at any time, you know? So again, I think they have wonderful pieces in place. They seem like wonderful young men. I know some of them and all of them are good ball players, but some of them are very good ball players. So I'd be excited to work with them, and I'm hoping that they'll want to stick around.
Is there an open door for players that you've left behind? I mean, could that be a possibility? I know you obviously had an all SoCon selection that's quite coveted right now.
Yeah. You know, so back to what I'm allowed to talk about, right. And I can't get into any specifics, but again, I would just say that, you know, we had some really good players at VMI. I want them to do what's best for them. But, you know, keeping an eye on the transfer portal on the whole. So we'll figure things out going forward.
And of course, we have you on a day after we had Lamont on. He's got a theory that you've got three players every year with eligibility remaining in this day and age that are going to leave. Maybe they're not playing enough. Maybe they're further away from home than they thought. And he's like, when you have a coaching change, you can count on doubling it. So he openly admits that he's looking at least 50% roster turnover. Do you think that's kind of a fair assessment that you could be walking into?
I think it is. I think it does depend a little bit on the individual kids, mm-hmm. and what they're looking for and the individual situation. But unfortunately, I mean, you just do the numbers, and if you divide or whatever, you know. But right now, there might be 1,000 or 1,000 plus transfers in the transfer portal. You know, so, and oddly enough, not to go off on a different tangent, but the high school kids are really being hurt now, right? Mm-hmm. So you might be able to sneak some better high school kids because so many of us are surfing in this transfer world that there's not enough seats, especially with this COVID year coming back, right? There's more players available for college than there are seats. So so it's kind of an interesting dynamic. But, you know, we'll work with the guys here, you know, hear them out. Hopefully they'll give us a chance, and then we're going to be bringing in some very good players, whether it's transfer portal or through high school.
All right, we've got to take a break, but when we come back, more with Dan Earle, the new head coach of the UTC Mocs. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 95.3. Welcome back in to Press Row here on ESPN 95.3. David Pascal along with Wells Guffery. Hoping everybody out there is having a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. We're being joined in this half hour by Dan Earle, the new head coach of the UTC Mocs. He was introduced at a 2 o'clock news conference today. How long did you speak?
It's a good question. I didn't keep time. Hopefully I didn't bore anybody. Maybe 8-10 minutes, something. I don't know.
Excellent, like excellent. Were there some good questions for you?
There were some good questions.
Awesome.
Good questions from the crowd.
All right. Wanted to ask about your style. How would you have described your style of play at VMI?
Yeah, so I would describe it as a fun style offensively, sharing the ball. We shoot a lot of threes, a lot of spacing, ball movement, player movement, a couple different things. I'm into that. That's how I see the game quite a bit. A little bit of a European style to it. My brother played at Princeton, so there's a little bit of Princeton style to it in that we bring our bigs away from the basket a decent amount. We do a decent amount of back cutting as well. Now, I say Princeton, and some people hear the old school, we're going to slow the ball down and, you know, wait until the last 3 seconds of the shot clock. By no means do we do that, right? We push it and play fast. So I do see the game that way quite a bit. Again, we shot or made the top two most three-pointers in the nation the last 2 years. So we will definitely shoot that thing and get, you know, high-level shooters in here. I don't know if we'll do exactly that, but that is true to who I am quite a bit, you know. So I think it's a fun style and fun to watch.
Well, and it's every time I've seen you play, it does look fun. And that question was to kind of set this one up. You've been at VMI, you were at Navy before that, right? You've been at places where I would imagine just being a student athlete, there's a lot of discipline just by nature of where you are. And so it seems like a lot of discipline goes into what you like to do. There's just kind of that question of You may have the opportunity here to have more talented players, but you've got to, I guess you've got to weigh the who's real talented and who wants to be disciplined.
Yeah, absolutely. But so oddly enough, our style offensively, it takes a little discipline. You have to, but it's more feel and decision making, right? So we don't run all these intricate set plays. It's more learn how to play the game of basketball and let the guys make decisions, right? So oddly enough, it's not, there's some offenses where coaches want to like call a play every time down the court, and they know this player is going to screen for this player, and I know where this shot's coming from. We have some of that, certainly, but we also, to me, the game of basketball is all about decision making, right? So we like to teach them how to play within this kind of framework of spacing and ball movement and all those things, but it's not a ton of set plays. So I don't want you to think our guys were not disciplined. In some ways, like cutting is a big part of our offense, and you would think anybody can cut, but cutting hard, that's a discipline thing, right? To cut hard and cut all the way throughout the other side. So it does take some discipline as well, but I'm excited to be able to get an even better athlete or an even better basketball player, get out on the recruiting scene and be able to do that.
You mentioned your brother, now coaching, like you. When can we expect a UTC Cornell home and home?
Yeah, that's a great question. So he's at Cornell, yeah, and been in this for a while. So we kind of decided that for our own good, number one, it probably wouldn't be great. And then for my parents, their blood pressure is even more important. So I don't think we're going to be doing that, but you never know.
When we had Tom Crean right after he was hired at Georgia, of course, he married into the Harbaughs in that Super Bowl with Jim Harbaugh against John Harbaugh. He said the days leading up to it was just like so much fun. And then with like 3 minutes to go, he said it just became hell on earth. You know, the fact that somebody, one of your brothers-in-law was going to lose.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that's a good way to look at life, right? Are you an optimist or a pessimist? Because you can say, hey, somebody's going to win, I'm going to be happy. But for the losing side of things, that's no fun, I don't think, for family members.
All right, let's get to know Dan Earle, shall we?
Yeah.
All right,
good.
Here we go. What basketball player did you most idolize growing up?
Wow. I'd go with Larry Bird when I was very young.
Okay. See, we'll have to work through that.
You're a Magic
guy. I was a big Showtime Lakers guy.
Oh, wow. Magic Smiles. Yeah. We'll definitely have to work through
that. In fact, we had Wells every now and then will get these emails through ESPN saying, hey, so-and-so's got a book. Would you like to have him on? And this has been 3 or 4 years, and it was Jamal Wilkes. He just had a book. And I've been doing this. Yeah, I've been at the paper for more than 30 years, but I've been doing this for like 9. And of the 9, we've had Jack Nicklaus on our show.
Wow.
But I've never been more nervous than Jamal Wilkes just because I idolized the Showtime Lakers.
That's awesome. Do these guys know who Jamal Wilkes is? That's the question.
All right. Who was your favorite team growing up? And this will be a two-parter, college, pro. Boston?
So okay. The Celtics for pro, and then when I was young, Duke was my team. But
wow,
That has shifted since then. So
all right, now was this the Billis Allery?
A little bit after that, Leitner, Bobby Hurley.
Oh,
so I'm
goodness.
From Jersey, and Bobby Hurley was like the guy in North Jersey. Bobby and Danny, and then not that we were anywhere to their level, but my brother and I kind of were in South Jersey, or whatever. So you kind of looked up to those guys. So I did root for Duke when I was young.
Okay. Corey,
I'm failing this test or whatever.
He's a nice guy. Just the Duke Celtics thing.
Yeah.
All right. Music. What kind of music you listen to?
Everything. Actually, I got to be careful now. So not heavy metal, and I'm not a huge country guy. So
okay.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say
that.
But
are you a classic rock? I mean, do you like classic rock?
So a decent amount of classic rock, yeah. Pop, you know, that kind of thing.
Did you have a favorite group growing up?
Not per se. I mean, now I like Dave Matthews Band a little bit. Bob Marley.
Okay.
Pearl Jam. Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Stuff that you never play at one of your practices.
Yeah. I don't put all that stuff on. So, Tupac and Biggie, you know, I came through that as well. So,
all right, what movie sucks you in? If you see it, you're like, okay, this is the 83rd time I've seen it, but I'm in.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'd have to go with The Godfather. I know that's boring, but I've watched that a million different times, so I'd have to go with that. I don't know if it's my favorite movie, but that sucks me in every time it's on.
What about Godfather 2?
Godfather 2 is, even better, right? One of the few sequels.
What about Hoosiers?
Hoosiers is another great movie that, you know, Gene Hackman and, the Picket Fence,
uh-huh.
That's what they ran,
uh-huh.
right? Yeah.
So. With Shooter.
Great one.
Do you consider that your favorite sports movie?
I would say, yeah, I'd go Hoosiers, favorite sports movie.
All right, we only got about a minute left. What is kind of in store for the next couple of weeks for Dan Earle?
Yeah, so a couple things. Get with the guys. Get on the court with the guys. Spend some time. Let them get to know me. You know, our players here at Chat. Recruiting is huge, so we'll have some recruits in sooner rather than later. Figure out how to fill the roster, and that kind of goes hand in hand because I want to see exactly what we have and what our biggest needs are. Hiring a staff. I'm pretty close on that. We're going to have a really good staff here. So, and then getting out in the community and getting to meet, you know, it was great today. I mean, a wonderful event, very nice people. I've spoken to some of the people on the phone, but getting out and about and letting people know my family, my wife Sheila, and my two kids, Mila and Allie, and look forward to doing that. So a ton of stuff to do on top of that, you know, worrying about their academics and this, that, the other. But those are some of the big things.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to let you get settled, give you a month or so, and then we're going to reconnect and see how things are going.
That'd be great. I appreciate you taking it easy on me.
Absolutely. So. Dan Earle, new head coach of the UTC Mocs. Good getting to know him. 648-1051 is the number. Here in about 30 minutes, we'll do the same with Sean Poppy, the new coach of UTC's women. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 95.3.